first, it's a lot, but I think the kids like it from the standpoint of now they see that we're maximizing their skill set. We're trying to utilize them in the best possible way to highlight their strengths.
Brennan Marion, the offensive coordinator at UNLV, joins us to discuss the Go-Go offense on today's Coach and Coordinator podcast. We explore the origins and evolution of the offense, emphasizing the strategic approach to combining the option game with a strong passing attack. Coach Marion highlights the importance of adapting the offense to the player's strengths and shares his coaching journey, emphasizing continuous learning and adaptation. He introduces the concept of the 5 V's in the Go-Go offense and focuses on team culture, player development, and maximizing talent. We dig into recruiting based on skill set, effective communication, and creating a supportive environment for the players. And we wrap up with a conversation by underlining the importance of togetherness, love, and selflessness among players for team success. Stay tuned for our Winning Edge takeaways following the interview with Coach Marion. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. On today's episode of the Coach and Coordinator Podcast, we're going to talk about the Go-Go offense, something we've talked about on here before, though it's been a while, and our guest at the time was at Howard University, but certainly has been moving and shaking since that time and made a number of moves here. He is now the offensive coordinator at UNLV, and that's Brennan Marion. So, Brennan, it's great to have you back here on the podcast.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, definitely. It's been fun to just watch you move through the profession. The first time we talked, you were at Howard University and, you know, telling us a little bit about the Go-Go offense and what it was and where the name came from. All those things back then, I thought some great branding, but it's been fun to watch also how that offense has really come to the forefront. You know, I turn on games Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you see some of the elements of it. So it's been cool to see it spread as well.
Yeah, you know, just started off in high school and it's kind of taken off throughout football from all levels now. You see people running it and using the formations and different things. So it's definitely been a blessing to see people, you know, see something that started off at, you know, the lowest level of high school football now, you know, be in major college football and NFL.
Definitely. I think the first time we talked was either 2017 or 18. And then we talked again during the pandemic. And I believe at the time you had been then on to Hawaii in between there. I think you had William and Mary. You've been at Texas. And now you're running the offense at UNLV. But for our listeners who maybe haven't heard about it, could you give us an overview of exactly what the Go-Go offense is?
Yeah, really what we wanted to do was, you know, we wanted to still be able to run like the old school option and keep two backs in the backfield, but really not lose any juice in the passing game. So we were able to look at formations through the test of time in football. That one thing that if you look at the service academies and you look at what Coach Johnson did at Georgia Tech and just through the test of time, option has always been hard for our defense to stop because you're not blocking one to two, maybe even three guys at times. And we wanted to be able to do that, but not get rid of our passing game. You know, obviously me being a former receiver, and the passing game is very vital and important to me. So, but also wanted to play winning football. And when I had teams that taken over teams that one was the worst ranked last in the state of California as a high school coach. And then I went to Pennsylvania and had the same scenario, taking over a team that was ranked last in the state. And you want to have a chance to win. You don't want to just say, okay, we're not good enough. You want to actually give yourself a chance to go win games. So I think that the formations that we create help us are able to present option, not just triple option as you see it, or deer as options on all our runs, where we can turn every run that you've seen in football into some type of triple option attack with having both backs on the same side of the quarterback. I also think it gives us numbers advantages, because if the defense doesn't count it right, then we have them outflanked to one side or the other, them trying to balance up our formation. Because when you put those two guys on the same side, you still have receivers, tight ends. We've used 22 personnel, 23 personnel, with still using those guys and using tight ends. And now it creates a whole bunch of structure and gap problems for the defense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you look at the formations and the way they're drawn up, I mean, when I look at it initially, I'm reminded a ton of just one of the old books I have on my bookshelf, Newt Rockne's book, simply called Coaching, written, I don't know, was it the 40s, 1940s? And it's like single wing football. And really, I mean, thinking about the placement of the backs, I mean, you have something like, you look at it, I'm like, man, that could be the Notre Dame box, right? But then, I mean, Newt had some crazy names for his formations, but you know, that would be a popular one that people could relate to. I mean, it's the unique placement of backs, which certainly sets up option. It sets up all kinds of misdirection. And then when you get into the way that you can release people into the passing game, it certainly can cause some matchup issues too, because of where they're coming from and the people who need to get assigned to them, or whose zones that they'll immediately attack.
Yeah, I mean, it's just given us a chance to, even with lesser, I've yet to, like, we use some of the, Sark was gracious enough at Texas where we use some of the formations and we use some of the plays with highly talented players, two backs that got drafted. It was like, but I have never really been in a position to call the offense yet where everybody on our offense could be a drafted player or be go on to the next level. So using it, and now, like you said, getting it to where it's nationally known and people know about it, we have yet to do it with the upper echelon of the best players of the best teams. And so to me, that gives me great confidence knowing that we're really onto something, because we're able to go toe-to-toe with top teams and play and perform, even though the one-on-one matchups might be better on the other side of the ball.
And I know in talking to you over time, there was always that desire to get to where you're at right now. Like you said, to be able to have, you know, some guys who could get drafted, be able to have the ability to really run the full offense. You've been able to influence the offenses you've been at, but now you get a chance to do that. And it seems like when you look at things, you look back on it, like, it wasn't that bad getting to this point, right? I mean, we all get a little bit impatient in looking at it. For you, what was that progression like of being able to move up those levels? Obviously, not necessarily along the line have the ability to do all of it, but having an influence, being able to share your knowledge and help make the programs you've been at better.
Yeah, I really feel like when I first got into college football, I did it backwards. So I had some skills that the other coaches that I worked around maybe didn't have, because I did it going from being a high school head coach and all the kids living at your house and taking care of everybody and just like really just being all about the kids and everything that the kids needed, line and field, washing uniforms, that whole deal. I got to experience that my first 4 or 5 years of coaching. I say that was my Christian service, because I basically coached for free. The hours and the money that you make, you're not really getting paid. And then I got into college football, and I was blessed because my college coaches as a player, they all blossomed and blew up into big time careers. So you want to go straight into college and working for Mike Norvell, which was my position coach. You go right in and you're freaking one of the top coaches in college football, and you're learning under him. And how does he do it? And how's he see it? And how's he call a game? And then branched off from my tree of coaches that I knew, and then went with Coach London. And I was with Coach London for 3 years, 2 at Howard and 1 at William & Mary. And really that whole deal was Howard, like to take them from where people didn't even really know that there was a football team to the biggest upset in college football history. All the stuff we did at Howard, setting a lot of records and doing different things. It was amazing there. And then we went to William & Mary, and really at William & Mary was kind of like, it was like the pivot time. It was like trying to figure out, okay, a lot of FBS coaches were asking me about my offense, but they didn't want to let me run it yet. So I was like, do I stay here at the FCS level and just keep running it? And hopefully we can move up. But Coach Lennon there kind of told me, like, it's time for you to move up because I'm staying here. I'm probably going to retire here. So then I had to make the transition and jump up to Division I, FBS. And for me, that standpoint was pretty easy in the position I was in, I would say, from the standpoint of a receiver coach and recruiting, because the recruiting element was pretty easy because as when you're a high school coach, you have to recruit your own players. I always say, like, the transfer portal is no different than high school football. I mean, that's what we had to do anyways in high school. You have to keep your players from other schools taking your players because you're at a lower program or you're trying to keep your guys, recruit the hallways. And then receiver, obviously, I played that position and made it to the highest level. And receiver for me, like, if a guy has the attributes, I can pretty much get him right to where he needs to be. And it's a smaller room. When you're coordinating or you're the head coach, you have the whole room or a bigger room. But when you're just the position coach, you have 9 to 12 guys that you're in charge of. Only 4 or 5 get to play. So really what I did was just ran those groups like they were the quarterback or I ran them like teams, not just a position. And in those situations, it gave me a lot of time to learn and observe from the head coaches, being at Pitt with Coach Narduzzi, learning how he runs a program, learning under Coach Whipple, the offensive coordinator, and how he coached the quarterback and his NFL background, and how he called the game and saw the game. I'm at Hawaii, DJ and Coach Graham, just learning how they called and saw the game and being underneath them. And those guys were family to me because we were all at Tulsa together. And then going with Sark at Texas, just seeing how a program that big, him being a CEO plus being a head coach, was really big for me. I mean, I saw him still coordinate the offense at Texas, which is, you would think that's a crazy job. All the recruiting that goes on, all the politics, all the stuff that you have to deal with at Texas, he was still able to, a testament to him, he was still able to go out there and call plays and be one of the best play callers in football and just see how he developed the quarterback. So the biggest thing I learned is just seeing how other guys called it, how they ran programs, and then being with Whipple and Sark, it really helped me coach the quarterback better from the standpoints of shifts and motions, stuff to help the quarterback see it a little bit better to get his completion percentage up. Because I was a big shot guy and we're going to run the ball for 5 yards, but I learned a lot from them from the standpoint of using the passing game, just like the run game, and really got a PhD in the pass game from being around them and watching how they develop quarterbacks.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to just get an education there from the people that you're around all the time and learn and absorb all those things that I'm sure have helped you evolve your offense, but also evolve your thinking. Because I know, you know, for you, hey, there's plans in the future, I'm sure, to be a head coach and to be able to do all those things and be the CEO and potentially run the offense as well. And there's a lot there. There's a lot to learn from. And you certainly have maximized that opportunity in your experiences at Pitt and Texas and all the other stops along the way. So I know now in Vegas, the V in Vegas, you have the style of your play really built around five Vs. Talk to us about the five Vs in the go-go offense.
Our V thing is, we said when we got here, we were going to put the V in Vegas, and the kids really embrace that. We don't necessarily play with a certain style. We always say that we always want to be adaptive and be like water, you know, the old Bruce Lee testament. That's really what we're focused on. We're trying to be whatever we need to be to win the game, whoever we need to use. I think the V is more of just our culture, how we move around, how we operate. Really, the first V is just about being violent. We won't play anybody who's not about aggression and toughness and playing with a little chip or edge on their shoulder. We want to play with variety, meaning we use multiple guys. We don't want to be a little league offense. I always say we don't want to just depend on one guy. Obviously, our main guys will get the majority of the touches, but we want everybody to feel like they're involved. We want to play vertical is one of them. When we talk about getting vertical, like we want guys that we want to run downhill. We want to attack the defense. We want to stay on attack mode and get to the end zone. Value, right? So the biggest thing for us is talking about value in the ball and, you know, 100% ball security. And really, you think about all the games that last year that we struggled in, that's what we didn't take care of the football in every game that we won. They were able to get us UNLV. That was the first time they had ever been to the conference championship game in the history of UNLV's football program. We took care of the ball. So we really stressed that about value in the football. And then victory, we always say it's an offensive game from the standpoint of you have to be 1 point better than the opponent. When we look up at the clock and we talk to our guys about how you play without the ball determines how much you love your teammates. We don't want anybody worrying about anything other than trying to get touchdowns. We don't care who scores the touchdown. We just want to get touchdowns. And I think that was one of the things that I think we were number two in the nation in rushing touchdowns. I mean, we had a ton of rushing touchdowns. And everybody took great pride in that. It didn't matter who got to run the ball in or who scored the touchdown. Like, everybody would celebrate like it was them scoring. So that's very important to us.
Now, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, that the formations that you use certainly have started to pop up all over the place. And, you know, there's a lot of creative guys in the NFL who like to use the athleticism of their players, whether that's, you know, putting a speedy receiver into the backfield and kind of turning him into that hybrid receiver / running back. What did you think as you started to see some of these pop up and obviously something familiar to you? How cool was that?
Yeah, I just thought it was like I said, I mean, I just thought it was awesome from the standpoint. I always looked at this Oprah quote. She said something about, you know, if you make French fries, make them the best in the world. So people will come to see you. And it was just like, I'm starting at as a JUCO JV, small high school coach, to seeing, you know, like last year, I know the Seahawks used our formations quite a bit. Just seeing that, it was like, wow, if that was something that started at the lowest level. And I mean, I've ran, when I was a high school head coach, we even ran this offense with the 8-year-olds, the 7 and 8-year-olds ran it. When everybody in the program, we used to call it the program, like everybody all the way from 7-year-olds to the varsity ran the same offense. And so little kids at 7 years old have ran this offense. And now it was all the way at the NFL level. So I think that was huge.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think back to my earliest days of playing, and at the time, my dad was a high school coach, but he would take time to help out, and having some of those unique formations. I remember the one all the time is kind of like your, I think you'd call it maybe duo, but both of the backs next to the quarterback on the same side. We called it wagon train. And every now and then he'd even put the third guy back there, and those guys were just lead block. And it was really open up lanes.
And I tell people all the time, I saw something old and put a spin on it, made it new. You know, I don't think you can really do too much else in football. I just think that people really didn't see much creativity outside of that formation other than, like you said, like, all right, we're just going to lead the quarterback forward and go into the end zone. And then when we started like running all types of plays and a full offense out of it now, I mean, now we have over 400 different calls and plays and now it's like, damn, that's not just a, at first people thought it was just like a fad or a formation, like, oh, that's cool, Howard runs that. Now they're like, oh, wow, that's like a real offense. So that's one of the things that I think is definitely been special over time.
So going back to the high school coach and thinking about an approach now, obviously you've learned a lot along the way, but, you know, I think in high school, you just want to get your best players on the field. And sometimes, you know, you can't necessarily pigeonhole that guy and say he's this guy or that guy. And I see a lot of the same offenses on Friday nights. Everybody looks pretty similar. That parody we used to have that we only saw at the NFL level has seemed to creep into high school football because of, I think, the way we are able to share knowledge so quickly now. But I see the advantages for looking at, I have this guy who, I can't tell you if he's a running back, tight end, or receiver. He can do all those things. Maybe I got a few of them, right? I just got some good football players. How would you move those guys around? What kind of things would you look at using formations in general to make sure, as you said, you have some of that variety and that guys are able to utilize their skill sets? How would you approach that at the high school level today?
Yeah, I think what we do that is unique is we'll teach everything in long sentences and concepts. I can teach them the origin, the what, the why, the who. And then when we move forward, like once people actually know exactly what we're talking about, then we start to play musical chairs and get the people in the right seats to make the plays and move guys around. Like, okay, you're better at this, so you go here. You're better at this. And then nobody's really a position. I think that's the one thing that we were really unique about last season. If you watched our number 21, who was an All-American for us, baby Jesus, Jacob DeJesus, he lined up at receiver. He lined up at running back. We moved him everywhere. A lot of the guys, they played musical chairs and we put them in the right seat to go make the plays. And I think if you can teach it first where the guys have a general understanding of what you're saying, then they can start to own it as their own and then make the play better and put them in the right spots. And then they don't take it personal. You know, everybody knows the truth. They look over like, oh, my teammate's better at running a go ball than me. Like, even though the go route says the Z's supposed to run it, I'm the X, I'm better at it. I'm going to go here, you go here. First, it's a lot, but I think the kids like it from the standpoint of now they see that we're maximizing their skill set. We're trying to utilize them in the best possible way to highlight their strengths. And I've been in a lot of different offenses now. I think every offense has the ability to do that. It's about the communication piece. Can you communicate to these kids now in their ways? How can you present the information to them for them to understand and execute the play? And which takes a lot of guys, I think a lot of reason why I think the NFL is more innovative and creative right now than it's ever been, from the standpoint of guys are trying different things in the NFL, where the NFL used to be the traditional. We've always done it this way. This is how we're going to do it. And in high school and college was like fun, like, man, you get to see a whole bunch of different stuff and cool plays. And now you're not really getting that just from, I think, the financial implications. The guys are not willing to, dinosaurs die. I don't think a lot of guys are willing to change their communication and verbiage and keep up with the kids. And I think in the NFL, I see Shanahan using nothing but one word calls and making sure he communicates ways that make sense to the guys. I think that's one thing we're doing here is we're gearing everything towards stuff that makes sense to them. Like, we use names and terminology that are in their little quick TikTok dictionary brains, you know, not the stuff that I might've used that worked for when I played. So I think you have to continually update your information and communication skills because these kids will do whatever you want done, but you have to be able to teach it to them.
For sure. It always comes down to teaching. I'd imagine that some of the ways you approach this, in, as you said, those musical chairs and being able to move guys around and maximize skill sets, probably changes the way you look at recruiting a little bit too, where everybody has their profile of this position or that position. But now I would imagine, like, you're just looking for great football players and you'll figure out when the music stops and what chair they'll sit in.
Yeah, I mean, Sark, really being with him at Texas and how we recruited so aggressively from the standpoint of getting the best possible players at like at every spot and just loading up the rooms with talent, you know, and I think he learned a lot of that from Pete Carroll when he was at USC, just getting the best possible freaking football players, guys that love football, guys that wanted to win and that were great athletes and, you know, had all the measurables. I think that's what it's about from the standpoint, instead of trying to just get, okay, this guy's this role and this guy's that role. And you just get really, really good players and then you put them in the spot to go show how really good of a player they are. I think that's what I've geared my mind towards now. Before I was like, okay, we have to have one speed guy and we have to have one this guy and one. Now it's just, let's get the best possible player that we can.
In an era where everybody's looking for better for themselves, and some programs are, hey, we need this kind of guy for this position, how does it help you really, for those guys, help them see, like, man, there's a place for you here. There's a reason to stay here. And we're going to absolutely maximize what we're able to do with you and get you on the field and utilize your skills.
Yeah, we lost one starter to the transfer portal. So we kept all our dynamic playmakers and starters and offensive linemen, just from the standpoint of they saw exactly that the coaches were in the trenches fighting for them and wanting them to win. I think Coach Odom does a great job from the standpoint of he makes sure that these players get treated just like we're at a Power 5 program. We don't lack anything. We get the same treatment, same work ethic, same discipline, same accountability. I mean, he makes sure everybody who touches the players are getting them exactly what they need to be successful. I think when players see that, they see, like, it's just like a parent. If they see a parent working hard 2 and 3 jobs trying to provide and make sure they're good, that they, you know, they're going to be more inclined to be successful to try to help that parent out. I mean, our guys have saw the work ethic that the coaches are trying to put in to make sure that they have great careers and go on and be great men. So I think that's really the one thing that's helped. The football part has been easy because they see us in the other aspects of their life trying to make sure that they're right. And for example, we lost our quarterback, and we, you know, I have this saying that kind of picked up, but it's just like one great year can change our lives. And really that's what happened. I mean, we had a great year on offense and that really changed his family's life from the standpoint that they were able to go acquire some funds and go somewhere else. And other guys on our team had the opportunity to do the same thing as well with the numbers that they put up. We had the number one receiver in group of five, and really he was top 3, top 4 in the nation in yards and one of the top guys coming back. And for him, it just didn't make sense for him to transfer. He had already transferred here. It just didn't make sense for him to go anywhere else because he was like, I'm guaranteed to be a premier player here. Like, they're going to get me the ball. They know how to treat me as a player. I think a lot of these guys, sometimes they think it's not even about the grass being greener. Like, oh, it's a bigger, better situation. But anytime you transfer, me being a person who's transitioned a lot in my life, like, you have to go learn a new culture. You have to learn how they do things. You learn a new coach. Does the coach really want you to be there? There's a lot of different things that go into that. So you see a lot of these guys transfer that were big time players at a FCS school or a group of five school. And then they go to different school and maybe they don't get the same acclaim or status that they had at the other school. And it's not that they became a worse player or anything like that. It might be they had better players. They had, maybe that guy wasn't a fit culturally. Once you find a comfort spot where you're developing and growing, I think our guys here still feel like they're developing, growing. Nobody is comfortable in the fact that nobody's chilling or relaxing. Everybody's here fighting to be better and do things at the highest possible level that we can do it. So I think that's one thing culturally that Coach Odom has said here, where guys feel like that we're still pushing and fighting to be the best possible team. And we're still fighting for the players to get more and have more. And, you know, everybody here is after more. So I think that players feel like they can accomplish their dream from here.
And I want to finish up with probably what is one of the core tenets and really what makes the go-go offense go. is the idea of love of your teammates. And I saw a quote from you. It said, how you play without the ball determines how much you love your teammates. How important is it to instill that in this offense, in particular your offense, where there's so many guys touching the ball?
We'll get up, and it hasn't changed. I mean, ever since I did it, it changed my life, and I've always led with that. Any program that I've went to, we actually did it at Texas. Sark got up and did it. He asked me one of the things that helped us in the past, and he got up and did it, and I was like blown away that he got up and gave his full story. But every player, every coach will get up and give their full story to the team. And then once you realize that we're more alike than we are separate, because the internet, family members, everybody who's outside of the building is trying to tell you how different you are and how messed up the world is. But, you know, when you look at it and everybody puts their problems on the table and everybody says, what's their why and all those things, you look like, damn, me and that guy have a lot of similarities. He might be from Ohio and I'm from Orlando, or he might be from Pittsburgh and I'm from Phoenix. It doesn't matter. When you look at it, and we have the same type of issues and constraints and things that have happened in our life, traumas that make us really similar. And then when I look out there and now I'm playing with you, I'm playing a little bit harder because I know this guy's a little, he's like me. We're going to play harder for somebody we feel closer to or similar to. And that togetherness, I think, is one of the things that help us overcome some of the, I might be too short, or I might be too skinny, or I might be a tick too slow. But I always feel like if you're playing hard, you know, one of our things, like, how hard can you play? Like, if I'm running a guy off and I know I'm not getting the ball, like, I'm showing that other guy, like, I care about you. If I'm in pass protection, I'm a back, and I'm going to make sure nobody touches the quarterback, and I'm going to sell out for you. That quarterback's throwing in there with a little bit more confidence, you know, and I think those are just the small intangibles that really win the games, because everybody has talent at the Division I level. Right. But can you get that team to play together? Can you get all 11 guys to sprint to the end zone and do everything that it takes to go win games and score touchdowns and be together, be a real group?
Well, Brennan, it was great to catch up with you here again on the podcast. Certainly best of luck to you and the Rebels here in 2024. And as I've said, it's been exciting to watch you progress here through the profession, and certainly am going to continue to watch for what's next from you.
Keith, I appreciate you, man. Go, go Rebels.
Here are Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1, learn and grow as you go. Coach Marion learned early on that he enjoyed running the show, especially on offense, and he aspired to do it on the biggest stage possible. As his career progressed, he had to step back from his role as a head coach and coordinator to be able to coach at a higher level. But he learned a lot from the people he's worked with and has applied that to his current position, evolving himself and his approach along the way. His growth in this manner continues. 2, play musical chairs with the skill sets you have available. Coach Marion has constructed his system where he can teach everyone the offense and then mix and match skills within a very flexible system of the go-go offense. Through the Bruce Lee philosophy of be like water, and the creative use of formations and schemes, the Rebels have a multiple attack that highlights the strengths of the players within their program. And 3, build on love. Coach Marion and the Rebels have a culture of learning who the guy next to you is and seeing that you have a lot in common. They build those bonds to work to serve each other, which is really what teamwork is all about. Be sure to check out all we're doing at coachandcoordinator.com. Follow us on X @CoachKGrabowski.